You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So this is Longhorns versus Sooners week. It's the Red River Shootout. So this is happening this Saturday, and it's time to bring in Longhorn Scott and get his feelings. If there's a Sooner out there that would like to get in here and get on with Scott, you're more than welcome to do that. What do you call them, Scott? What are Sooners? What do you call them? Those people?
Well, you know, I think it's always best to just be very direct, right?
Yeah.
Leave nothing to innuendo, and so thus the term Sooner trash.
Okay. All right.
You know, I mean, I don't know how you get more clear about it. You know, you mentioned you're going to have Dusty Dvorak on. I was curious, did y'all run that past his parole officer? Because he's the guy, when you mentioned his name, it reminded me of just what these people are all about, right? You know, Dusty Dvorak, he's from Dallas, Texas. He went to Lake Dallas High School. He beat up a friend, a high school buddy, with a baseball bat. And then Bob Stoops, this little story encapsulates what that program is all about, right? Bob Stoops petitioned for Dusty Dvorak to get a medical red shirt because he had allegedly alcoholism. So if ever there was a story that encapsulated what that whole school and program are about, it's the fact that a coach tried to get a medical red shirt for a player who beat up his own buddy with a baseball bat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and alleging that he had alcoholism. I mean, I don't know how you can be more succinct and just slip it into one little story that says this is what they're all about. I mean, you know, it's easy to hate these guys, and, you know, unfortunately for them, Texas is actually going to bring a coaching staff with them up to Dallas this year for the first time in about 11 or so years. It's fun. It's fun to have someone you hate. It's nice to be the team that you actually hate your opponent instead of every week being the team that you're kind of like, who cares, Tech, whatever. I get it. You couldn't get into Texas. You went to Lubbock, TCU. You couldn't get into Texas, and you're willing to spend three times what your degree is worth. Great. But we don't care about you, but now we can actually hate the people we're playing. That's what's going to make it nice about the SEC is caring, because this is the one time a year we get to truly care and hate people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Scott, have you practiced SEC?
SEC.
Have you practiced it yet?
Here's my chant, right? My chant's going to be hook 'em horns and screw everyone else. I don't care about.
Well, that's on brand for the Longhorns.
Yeah.
That's why y'all are lead.
Wait a minute.
That's on brand for the Longhorns.
Let me
Longhorns.
Ask you a question. Do you
You're
think,
right. It is.
Do you think?
It is because. Go ahead, John.
Do you think that the SEC is going to call penalties on people putting horns down like you guys forced the Big 12 to do?
First of all, I don't care if they do or not. I mean, throw them down. When you see someone doing horns down, that is, if that was a language, let's say that was a word in Spanish you didn't know, and you had to go online and find a translator, that would, if you plugged horns down into a translator,
mm-hmm.
it would say, couldn't get into Texas. So that's all right, and that's fine. We just got to start winning a regular life.
Longhorns are back, folks. Longhorns
is
back,
folks.
Yeah. Hey, look, let's
beat TCU.
You're from the state of Texas.
You guys beat TCU. You got all of that. You're back and raring in rare form, Scotty. Atta boy. Beat some TCU ass.
Let's be clear. Hey, let me be clear. I'm not saying we're back
mm-hmm.
because I'm like the state of Missouri. You got to show me, right? And so this season is not written. We got a new staff. We got a new season. We got to figure it out. But it doesn't matter what the state of anything is. You're always fired up for this game because it's fun. Because, again, you actually get to care about who you're playing. And it's Texas OU. Let's go.
Let's go. Texas OU. Anybody? Here's Sooner Trash calling in. Let's see. Stay on the line here, Scotty. Stay on the line. We got Sooner.
Come on. Let's go.
Sooner Trash is here. What's up, Sooner Trash?
I'm going to tell you the thing about trash. Trash don't ever go away. You're always going to have it, and you ain't ever going to win it because trash is always there. Hey, Longhorn dude, whatever the hell you think you are, how many times have you won this Red Rival shootout or whatever the hell they call it now because of politically correct or whatever? You ain't going to win nothing, man. You ain't won it. What's the record like? 1-30 over the last 31 years?
Scott?
I don't know.
Scott?
I got to say, John, I got to say, first of all, you couldn't have picked a better representative to call in for OU, by the way. So let me address your question. I think you guys would have to win like 16 or 17 in a row just to tie it up to answer your question. I mean, so
that's the thing. I'm talking about Sooner trash, okay?
Texas leads.
I'm talking about I am trash.
Okay.
And trash don't never go away. Trash will always be in your house. It's always going to be in your yard. And trash ain't going away.
Okay.
That's right.
Clean up your yard. Scott,
get your yard cleaned up.
Yeah.
Johnny, that's how you know. Lance, John, that's how you know when this game is happening or when it happened. Like, let's say you live in Dallas and you went out of town for the weekend and you really weren't paying attention to stuff and you came home and your trash can was knocked over and your dog was pregnant. Oh, it was OU week and they were in town this weekend.
Oh,
that's unfortunate. 62-49-5.
Texas leads the series. 62-49-5. So you got a it's 13 game lead on them. So
okay, so you'd have to win 13 in a row. There's your answer. Any other questions?
Longhorn, he's OU trash is what he is. That's what he said. That's what he said his name is. Oklahoma trash. Okay.
Trash don't ever go nowhere. It's always in your yard. I mean, I couldn't have asked for someone better to call in and personify what I'm talking about. Like. It could have been more perfect.
I can't do this anymore.
We're going to have the Boz on this week. We're going to have Dusty Dvorak. Are you got anything to say about the Boz? Okay, no.
Well, how come we're getting just Sooners?
Because the Longhorns are too good for this show. They won't get on. We got Longhorn Scott. What do we need Longhorns
that's
for?
That's true. And we had Jim calling himself Sooner Trash, saying it's trash is always in your yard. Like, trash isn't always in my yard.
Clean up your yard.
If something rolls into my yard that's trash, I'm going to pick it up and throw it away. But it doesn't stay like that. I don't have trash all over my yard.
Uh-huh. So
Jim's yard is trash.
Clean up your yard, Jim. 809 ESPN 97.5 92.5.
That couldn't have been what Oklahoma fans wanted to
have. No, Jim defending the honor. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, I need to. This is really incredible. Something happened. Ben DeBose, have you seen this yet?
I saw it.
This is really incredible. Ben DeBose accumulated these comments. This guy now has his Twitter on private. His name is Max Bay at @choice_fielder. When you go to his account, it says bioinformatician and neuroscientist, baseball obsessive. Sometimes I model baseball stuff. Sometimes I make baseball graphs. Okay. So he's in that space. He's in the baseball space. Here's an accumulation of his tweets. Starting in February of 2020, I'm done with these effing Astros Twitter clowns, logical and ethical contortionists. The rivalry with Giants fans is fun and in good faith. These people are actually awful. Okay? The next one, I will never forgive the Astros.
Mm-mm.
The next one, also funny is this whole, quote, we'll show everyone in 2020 attitude from the Astros players. Nobody cares about the Astros anymore. You're all tainted. Nobody cares. He went on to say in October of this year. Oh, he also said F. Yuli Gurriel.
Mm.
He had that one out there too in his Twitter account. And then those are all in January and February of 20. Fast forward October 4th, 2021, and he says, I'm excited to announce that at the end of the month, I'll be joining the talented Houston Astros R&D development department. This is a career trajectory I did not anticipate a year ago, but couldn't be more thrilled for, especially after meeting so many smart and thoughtful team members. So Ben DeBose captured it all and just said how it started, how it's going. This is probably not what you were hoping
for. Do you
for.
Think we just got a text going to cost that man his job? The no. Astros didn't know?
No. That he no, was... I don't think the Astros knew.
Yeah. Do you think it will cost him his job?
I don't.
You don't?
I think the Astros
well,
will,
I mean, with that betrayal towards the organization, then all of a sudden, well, first I love he'll you say, guys. Now I love you guys.
If he's talented, let me tell you, if they think he can help them win.
I don't know. I wouldn't want him on my team if I was them.
I think they're.
I mean,
here's
you
one
can
thing
find,
I know about
you
people
can find
who.
Analytics, guys.
Well, if they think he's really talented, if they think he'll make a difference, I think, you know what? We don't care.
How about what if he sabotages because he hates
may,
the Astros?
Because
so
Click
much.
May also say, you know what? I wasn't here. Okay, he was mad at the Astros. Yeah, everyone was. Jim Crane's mad at the Astros for cheating.
What is Yuli going to say to him when he sees him?
Yuli will never even know.
At Yuli, the lunch. At, you know at lunch.
I have a funny feeling in the Yuli's care factor about stuff. You could say whatever you want to Yuli. Yuli wouldn't care. Cool. I'm just living my Yuli life. You think Yuli would care? I don't think this guy gets fired. No. If he did, would it be Schadenfreude? Sure.
Yeah.
You know, if he did.
Does he deserve it? Yeah. Is he an a-hole? Yeah. Do I want that guy in our city? Do I want that guy on our team?
I don't care.
What if he sabotaged him?
You know, he got a great
whole thing is now he's going to sabotage the team because he hates him so much.
What if people learn a life lesson that maybe you be careful about what you say on Twitter? Whether he's fired or not, the fact that Ben DeBose captured these and put them out there, it's already been shared over.
I'm going to feel bad if Joe Biden ever wants to hire me.
Are you?
Yeah, because I was at the Stained concert.
Oh yeah,
and I put a picture of Aaron Lewis, the lead singer, who had a shirt on that said I could ship a better president. Only it didn't say ship.
It didn't say ship. Yeah,
it said poop. I could, but it said ship.
You took a picture and you posted.
And I took a picture and I said, the shirt of the night. That's funny. And it's still every day, every day.
You haven't muted that conversation yet?
I need to.
You got to.
Every day there's more people that are hating it or loving it. And I didn't mean to get in the middle of this. I'm apolitical.
Okay. Do we have anyone coming up next? Oh, okay. We don't. I am apolitical when it comes to my football stuff. I gave a player a compliment yesterday and inadvertently stepped into a civil war that I had no idea that was going on.
Okay.
I stepped into...
A Derek Carr.
I made
a comment.
Was it
a Derek Carr?
No, but no, actually, those people have... no, they have Derek's back. They have Derek's back. I do want to kind of mention that. But I'm trying to see what it is, but I'm over 1,000 some odd likes,
what?
Like 400 retweets on this
really?
Thing. I just made one comment, and I had no idea. I stepped into another fan's civil war where the fan base is literally tearing each other apart, and
we'll
I had no idea about this.
On the other side, but right now, TGS.
Text the word money to 232323 and let TGS Insurance find you A-rated insurance. Now, you could do it yourself. You could make the phone calls and go through the process of sitting on hold. And then you get to it, and then you answer questions about, okay, what about this question? What about this? What about this? You answer. When you're all done, they'll go through all the coverages and everything, and then they'll give you your quote. Okay, I say $50. Let me check with another company. Same process goes on. At TGS Insurance, you text the word money to 232323. They get your address, and guess what? You are going to have them checking through a multitude of A-rated insurance companies, and you will get a firm quote within 15 seconds. And yes, they will have checked everything out for you. A firm quote within 15 seconds. This is a great opportunity for you to save money with A-rated insurance for your homeowners. You don't want to give up the A-rated insurance, but you also want to put more of your money back in your pocket. So text the word money to 232323. That's money to 232323.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Catch every single moment of the Houston Astros' quest for another world championship on your home for the 2021 World Series, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now back to the bench. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 819 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in here, Rolando, let's get Rolando in here first because he wants to talk a little Astros, and then we'll get to your family feud going on.
Okay.
What's going on, Rolando?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Hey, quick question. I know we're in the postseason right now, but I want to talk about next season. What's a more important role to fill for the Astros? A starter, reliever, a closer, or a position player? Can y'all give me that answer? Thank y'all and have a great day.
Thanks. It's got to be – I know what you're going to say. You're going to say starter.
Top-end starter.
I don't think they're available.
I want to – I do. Yeah.
There's one guy. Yeah, and he Gausman. Actually fell off a little bit.
That's all right. I'll take Gausman. Mm-hmm. I'll take Gausman. I think that he makes you.
$25 million a year?
Yeah.
Not 7 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
6 years. Yeah. I'd do it.
I don't think the Astros do it.
Well, they're dumb then. That's a dumb team then. Okay. And I don't want to call them dumb.
You just did. You got some more. Why don't you do it on Twitter? In case you ever
no, I don't want those receipts. Like because Ben DeBose will go find them.
No,
he'll put them out there on me.
I know.
I think it's a top end starter. If you got that, if that team had that right now, that front line hammer, this team could be the favorite. I don't know that you're built right now. We'll see. I thought Charlie did. He put it perfectly. You're built for 162 games. Are you built for the playoffs? We'll find out. But. Because that's what you got to have. If you had Verlander right now, holy crap!
Yeah, it's much different when you're in the postseason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a grind. I mean, it's
well, do you
everything's
have,
like a 2-game series?
Can you count on Lance to be that guy?
Yeah,
I don't know. Is Fromber that guy? I don't know. I mean, if you had Verlander right now, Verlander followed by McCullers, followed by Fromber, followed by. Probably Garcia and put Urquidy in the bullpen with
closer.
Frankie and Odorizzi.
I mean, for me,
so much better.
I still want a really good closer. The Astros haven't had a really good closer since, frankly, I don't think since Lidge.
I think Presley's pretty damn good.
I think Presley's okay. There's nothing that strikes me as like, oh, God, look at Ryan Presley jogging in from the – you guys are screwed now.
Yeah.
He's jogging in from the bullpen. He gives you that vibe?
Man, you hated Billy Wagner. You hate everybody.
No, I want a really good closer.
Yeah.
Well, Billy Wagner
was a really good closer. Like Hall of Fame. He was close to Hall of Fame.
He was a good closer.
No, he was a great closer.
Billy Wagner refused to add a second pitch at all. Just refused to, which would have made him a dominant closer. Why can't I have a dominant closer?
My goodness.
Do you think he's a dominant closer?
Who? Presley? Yeah, he's good.
Who's better, Presley or what's his name? Kimbrel.
Oh, Presley. Way better.
He's better than Craig Kimbrel.
Yes. Kimbrel sucked this year.
Wait.
Yes. And
did Kimbrel start sucking at the end?
He sucked. Are you kidding me? Kimbrel has been crap.
Wait a minute. Kimbrel,
who would you rather have, him or Kenley Jansen?
Kimbrel, are you sure he sucked? He had a .9 whip, 100 strikeouts in 59 innings, a 2.26 ERA, and 24 saves.
He hasn't been good with the White Sox. He has not been good. Liam Hendricks is their guy. Okay?
Oh, you know what? Yeah. I'm going after since he got moved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, since he got moved.
Go ahead.
Five home runs allowed to one home run. Wow, he has sucked.
That's great. And he sucked too. He sucked before this too.
A year before, but he had been really, really good.
Yeah, until he sucked, he was
2019,
good.
Not so good. Yeah, you're right. This has been a little run of suck.
Yeah.
And then he had a really, really good run with the Cubs this year. Then he got traded, and the suck
and
came
sucked.
Back.
Yeah.
You win that one.
I'll take my guy. What is wrong with you?
I don't think he's a closer. No, I don't think he's a closer. I think he's a setup man.
How would you like?
I don't think I'm wrong either. I don't think I'm wrong that he's. Why has he never been a closer?
Did you like Mark Melancon when he was here?
No.
You know who led the league in saves this year?
Who?
Mark Melancon.
Great.
Yeah.
I didn't like J.D. Martinez when he was here.
How's he now? Well, he
sucks.
Hurt now. No, he's hurt now.
He
might not even play tonight.
I didn't even like Anthony Rizzo when he played at Rice. When he played at Rice, I hated Rizzo.
Why did you hate
anybody who's from here and then goes somewhere else? that's good. I'll just say I hated him. That's part of the bit.
Well, you're talking about Rendon, not Rizzo.
I mean, yeah, I meant Rendon, not Rizzo.
Not Rizzo.
Yeah, Rizzo was never good played with, I was Rice. Good with him. Yeah, I was good with Rizzo. Yeah, I meant Rendon. and then I had to hate him after what he did in the World
Rizzo's
Series.
Rizzo's Italian. He couldn't get into Rizzo.
After what he did in the World Series, I had to hate him.
Right.
And I still don't hate him. Yes, I'm going to watch a game. Yes, I'm going to be for the Red Sox.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I don't want the Yankees.
No.
I don't want them to get through. I don't want to have to deal with them. Now, here's what happened to me yesterday. Actually, 2 days ago. Sunday's games, I'm watching a variety of games. I got 8 screens up there on the one channel 702 on DirecTV. It's the Sunday ticket mix. 8 games up there. I have interest in certain games. One of them is a lot of points getting scored and Jalen Hurts throwing for over 234.5 yards. I just happen to be interested in it for
underdog
fantasy.
That just piqued your
underdog
interest.
Fantasy purposes, yeah. So I want a lot of points scored. I want Jalen Hurts throwing for a lot of yards, or at least 235 yards.
Okay.
So I'm watching a lot of that game, and he's throwing the ball pretty well. He has a couple different touchdowns. He gets called back for penalties or whatever. I thought he played pretty well. I'm like, man, Jalen Hurts. At one point, I'm thinking to myself, Jalen Hurts is really developing as a passer. And I was thinking about Mac Jones and Justin Fields and Zach Wilson and all the stuff I've seen. I'm like, man, this guy, he's starting. This is like his 7th or 8th game as a starter, period. That's all. Remember, just a couple games last year, and then this year, this is his 4th game. I'm like, man, he's really coming along way faster than I expected. I watched all his tape in college at Alabama, at Oklahoma. Thought he was more of a good backup to low-end starter at best. I think he's developing much more quickly, right? He's still got a ways to go, but he's really coming along pretty quickly for playing so few games. Quincy Avery, his quarterback coach, but a guy that has talked to me about Hurts' struggle with throwing with anticipation, he's very honest with me. Quincy will, you know, I was at the pro day, he's like, man, he's got to throw with better anticipation. The windows are going to close on him and stuff like that. But the guy throws with good zip and throws a really pretty pass. Quincy goes, I know it seems like Jalen Hurts has been a starting quarterback in the NFL for a long time, but he's 8 games in as a starter, and his stats for his first 8 games rival any quarterback we've ever seen first 8 games. I said, he's really developing quickly as a passer. I wasn't sure it would happen, but it's definitely happening. I said, you know, I don't just say this stuff for likes. I'm being serious. He's working with better quickness through progressions, better anticipation, and just like at his pro day, he's got the same zip on the football. I continue to be impressed by how quickly he's growing. That's what was said. The firestorm that created from Eagles fans, and not all of them at all, but the firestorm that created, it was unbelievable. The amount of people who came out either in favor of him or against him, and then people referencing, oh, this isn't going to make a lot of Wentz fans happy. Apparently, there's this huge fight going on in Philadelphia. Huge, huge fight going on in Philadelphia. I mentioned this yesterday. I said, I gave Jalen Hurts a compliment yesterday and inadvertently stepped into an Eagles fan civil war that I didn't even know existed. Well, that brought a ton of different comments from Eagles fans. Like, yep, that's our city. Yes, it's the sports talk. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Everyone loves him, which is clearly not the case. People going after Jalen Hurts. And then I said, I didn't know how many fans dislike Jalen Hurts. And he hasn't even started a full season. Wild times. I think he's a better quarterback than the one I scouted. I'm out on all the other stuff. You guys can get back to your war and leave me untagged. But the fights that went on, and I was reading them in the threads. I was commenting on some of them. There are people who just think he is the biggest sack of trash that has ever existed as a quarterback, which I don't understand. I can't watch. Granted, he didn't play well against Cowboys. For the most part, he's played fairly well this year. I think in the small sample size, his 8 games are much better than the 8 games of Tua, than the 8 you're going to see from Justin Fields, than the 8 you're going to see from Zach Wilson. Like, it's kind of strange that Philly, and of course, it's like, it's racism, it's MAGA fans who hate black quarterbacks in Philadelphia. I don't know their city. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, first of all, not every fan who dislikes a quarterback or who has a comment about a black quarterback is a racist. In the same way that when a black analyst says something about a white quarterback, I'm seeing more and more that people believe that there's a racial element to that. sometimes we just have opinions. Remember when we used to be able to have opinions?
Nope. You got to be a racist if
we had opinions,
like
and I guess you can't have cross racial opinions. You can only have opinions about your race of player. Apparently now for black and white, but yeah, I had no idea that Philadelphia fans are really in a big fight about Jalen Hurts, which is crazy to me based on the fact that he's barely gotten a chance.
If they want Carson Wentz back, I think the Colts probably give him back to him.
Listen.
Go get him.
I don't understand that Wentz didn't win a Super Bowl for him. He was hurt. Wentz has been hurt multiple times. He played terrible his last year there. I don't see how they call him Wentzylvanians. That's their nickname for I found out a lot of stuff in this Civil War. Wentzylvania, like it's just the Wentzylvanians.
All right. When we come back, we got another segment here, and then Dana Holgers is going to join us here at 8:45.
I got a patio segment here.
Okay.
I got a patio segment. It's going to be about 60 seconds, but I can tell you this. Go to tcplance.com and check out the work they did on my backyard, really. It's just a space that they turned into a patio, and it's I think it gives you a great idea of what they can do with your house. There's nothing special about the area of my house. My house was built in like 1961. You can see it was original wood. They ended up redoing the entire back, was taken care of. They put in a fire pit, put in drainage in the yard so I could get drainage in certain spots that I wanted better. New gutters were added as part of the project. They matched the roof with the metal roof that I was already on my house that was previously there from the previous owner. They matched that. That's hard to find. They matched it. And so it looks like that the house was built, you know, with that patio. That's what it looks like. The workmanship is amazing. But, you know, the value that you get can really be measured not just when you resell the home, but when you're out there enjoying your time on your own patio with friends and family or just by yourself watching games and listening to music or listening with your surround sound. TexasCustomPatios.com. Make your house a home. TexasCustomPatios.com or go to TCPLance.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dana's going to join us in about 10 minutes here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, Chastang Ford, and HR&P. I think that's the best that they've looked since Dana's been here. Really enjoyed that game. And now he's got a game coming up against Tulane Thursday night.
You know, he needed it, but you look at their record now. What's the Cougars' record?
4-1. Pretty good.
And it's not that, you know, and I know you can pick holes and I get that. And I think it's 4-1.
There's Grambling in there.
But you take it though.
Yeah, why not?
We were supposed to beat Rice. You're supposed to beat Grambling, yeah. But you were not the favorite in this game.
No.
You were the favorite in Navy. I get all that stuff. Who did they lose to? Texas Tech. You know, if you think about this, and granted, it's easy to say good first half against Tech, bad second half against Tech. Well, good start to Texas Tech, 14-0. And you could easily say, oh, yeah, well, good finish to Navy, but that wasn't a good game. But when it's all said and done, Dana Holgorsen is going to be
he's going to be
judged on wins and losses and then how he performs in big games, which will include any bowl games, conference championship games, a game against Cincinnati. I just tell you this, you know, you and I have both talked about Clayton Tune.
This year it's the SMU game he's going to beat. That's a huge game.
That's a huge game, and they're a talented team. Yeah. Scouts tell me they've got a legit team over there with real talent.
Well, it's like I said, he's doing it the right way. Transfer portal.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Whatever.
But here's the thing. It's hard. It's Dana needs to ride that running back, McCaskill.
Yeah.
If you have somebody talented, Tom Herman made the mistake of not riding Bijan Robinson a little harder as a freshman. That's a big mistake because Bijan Robinson was mega talented. McCaskill's very talented. He's got all the traits, size, power, quickness, strength. He's got a little shake to him.
Yeah.
Dana needs to say, you know what? We're going to ride this guy. And because, you know, like it or not, your job may be on the line. Give yourself the best chance to win that you have. And putting the ball in his hands gives you the best chance.
Yep.
For sure. But it helps.
Well, he likes Henry too. For some, I don't know what else, he likes Henry.
No one's talked about Houston's. Well, that's not true. Houston fans have talked about Houston's defense. But if you look at what Houston has done defensively, mm-hmm. other than that little stretch against Texas Tech, they've been really good defensively.
I think Doug Belk's going to have a job in a few years. I do.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a head coaching job somewhere. It won't take long. He's a good coach. I don't think there's any question about that. Dane will be like, shut up. But, no, he wants his guys to get jobs. But you lose Doug Belk, and that'll be a big blow to that staff. I don't think there's any question. 713-780-3776. Biscuit wants to talk a little. What's up, Biscuit? How you been?
Hey, man, top of the morning to you, fellas. And just to Lance, I don't know with Dana's relationship with the big don over there. I don't know how much the Jeffrey's job is, man. But I'm with you though. The Cougars are looking much better.
Tillman Fertitta. Let's face it. You can't make Tillman Fertitta mad. He owns University of Houston.
Well, yeah. Well, it makes him mad if you don't win football games. Hey, yeah. Dana's got to win, too. And it doesn't matter how much Tillman likes him or doesn't like him. He's got to win football
games. That's the job.
That's the job.
There's nothing personal here. Yeah. The job is to win football. Yeah. Rene Couture, Dr. Couture, came out and said, people get fired for going 8-4
Eight wins get you fired here. Well, hey, gosh.
I think they're going to give him a little longer lease, though. But, yeah, you're right. But let me ask you this, Lance, and I think you're like me. When I be watching the games on Sunday and stuff, and even like watching the game last night, are you one of those guys that like, oh my God, what the ref looking at? I mean, because Lance, tell me this, man. I watched the game, and Bosa, they called unsportsmanlike conduct because the dude tackled Bosa, and the referee standing right there didn't throw a flag. And Bosa got up, and I watched T.J. Watt against Green Bay, and the guy's grabbing his helmet and grabbing his. And no flag. Man, it's getting ridiculous with these left tackles, man, and these right tackles. The referees are letting them get away with robbery. I mean, you used to have to have a certain technique of where you had to have your hands. I mean, when you got a guy that's standing there and the quarterback takes off running and he can't turn and run and he has to stick his foot out because somebody holding him and the referee don't – I mean – tell me, Lance, am I wrong?
I don't know what he said. I was surprised. You almost never see that flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. That's one of the only times I've ever seen that when a complaint got a guy flagged. If he touched him, he would have been ejected. So he didn't touch him. He must, and they said Bosa doesn't even swear that much. He must have gone out of his way to go over the top. There were two calls that I thought were strange calls. One of them, and I never got a clarification, they had a face mask penalty where I think it was Kyler Fackrell. I can't remember who it was. I think it was on a punt return where little Hunter Renfrow got tackled and he got pulled down by the front of his jersey. So it wasn't a horse collar, but then they said there was a face mask. I don't know where this face mask was on the entire play. I will say this. Biscuit's gone. That was unbelievably loud in that stadium. You know how many Raiders fans were there? It's at SoFi.
Yeah.
So SoFi houses the Rams and the Chargers. Obviously, there's leftover Raiders fans in L.A.
But there ain't a lot of Chargers fans in L.A.
It was unbelievably loud, actually, for both sides. When the Chargers did something good, when the Raiders did, it felt like a college atmosphere based on the noise that was on Monday Night Football. It was really a great energy in the game. Both teams played pretty fast. At first, it was defensive-oriented. Then the offenses picked it up a little bit. Justin Herbert's so good. You know, this bashing. People bashed Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and now Mac Jones, right? And Danny Dimes, but he's still got to prove it. He hasn't really proven anything yet. Mac Jones is already looking a lot better than most of us thought, better than I thought, although he does have some weaknesses, so we'll see. Justin Herbert is for real. Justin Herbert is for real. Josh Allen is for real. Those two guys will be up there with Kyler Murray for MVP conversation because their teams are going to win. And, I mean, you've already beaten the Kansas City Chiefs, and you had a good game mm-hmm. for Justin Herbert. These young quarterbacks that are coming up right now, but isn't it amazing how guys get bashed? Herbert got bashed, and then Josh Allen really got bashed when they came out. Maybe let guys play.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe let's let guys play before everyone gets bashed. That's why I hate when NFL makes me do – you know, grade their draft picks. I've already asked my editor. I really don't want to do this. Why would I grade a test that's never even been taken? Because it's because of my opinions on a player? Who Who cares what my opinions are? These are my opinions. A team has a different opinion, and let's see what happens. Let's let it play out. Like, and I get fans want to see draft grades, but you're getting a draft grade from somebody who has their own personal opinion on players, or they're aggregating the opinions of other people, and then they're deciding what a grade for a draft grade should be. Man, let guys play a little bit. Justin Herbert has really turned into a nice quarterback. And I didn't know if he had the personality to do it. I thought he was too much of a just milquetoast guy to handle, you know, grown-up, tough guys in the locker room. He's been great over there. Many Kimes had a great article about the reluctant leader who's learning to be a better, more vocal leader. Out there on the field, that dude is balling. He's a good player. Josh Allen, good player. Deshaun Watson, good quarterback. Dak Prescott's developing into a really good quarterback. You look at the state of the quarterbacks right now in the NFL, really good.
We got to break it. Dana's going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Waiting on Dana to give us a call here. He should be calling. Oh, wait a minute. He doesn't. Doesn't he? There he is. There he is. All right. Does he have the number? He's got it. That's him. Good. Okay. Dana Holgerson joining us right now, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, by HRP, and by Chastang Ford. All big fans of the Cougs and big fans of what you did on Friday night. Nice game, Dana. That was, I think that's the best you guys have looked since you've been here. What do you think?
Yeah, more than likely, I guess so. What the score looked like, you know, I was proud of our coaches and proud of the players, the way they played. First road game, you know, it just kind of came together, I guess. You know, Tulsa's won a bunch of games now. That's the worst that they've been defeated in American Conference history for those guys. So, did something right. you know, just proud of the way the guys played hard, ball bounced our way, and we got out of there with the conference win.
Are we not talking enough about Marcus Jones?
I talk about him plenty. He's been doing a little bit of everything. You know, Tulsa had a bunch of wideouts that were pretty good, so we put him on defense the whole day. It's what he came here to do, is to play nickel corner. And, you know, between him and Pepe Williams, who is our player of the game defensively, you know, those guys have played a lot of ball for us. When you're able to move those guys to the inside to cover slots, because you got guys like Art Green and Alex Hogan kind of coming into their own right now, it makes you pretty good in the secondary, you know. And I tell you, the other thing that makes you pretty good in the secondary is when you can get pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, we got back there, we were incredibly disruptive up front. They had, I think, 30 yards rushing the ball. But, you know, from a sack perspective, I think we got back there 5 or 6 times, and I think we hit them probably 25 or 26 more times. So, you know, can't talk enough about what we're doing defensively. You know, and then you throw Marcus back there, and the best offensive play that we got right now is him catching a punt. You know, everybody's holding their breath every time that the punt return team goes out there. I've said it before, he's as good as I've seen at it, and he keeps wowing me, that's for sure.
Boy, third phase coach is just so important. Especially if you're really good at it, it can really swing a lot of games for you, can't it?
Yeah, it can. You know, and we blocked 3 punts this year too.
Yep.
You know, which kind of goes unnoticed. You know, blocking punts kind of changes games, but we've blocked 3.
Who's your special teams coach?
They know they got it.
Who's your special teams coach? I just want to shout him out. I mean, he's obviously doing a good job.
Yeah, Mark Scott, doing a great job. He was up with me at West Virginia for 5 or 6 years, and came down here, was an analyst for Blake Gideon for a year, who's over at Texas doing a good job, and he's took over here for the last two years. So, It was a big part of that game. We knew we could kind of get after Tulsa a little bit in the kicking game, and we did. But blocking punts, you know, puts that punt team on edge. And then when you got to make sure it doesn't get blocked, and then you got to get your butt down the field to tackle Marcus, it's a weapon for us. So, you know, we're number one in the country in punt returns. People don't know what to do. They got to hurry up and kick that thing, and then they're going to start spraying it everywhere. And, you know, it affects field position more than anything. I mean, we've been plus 10 to plus 20 in field position for the last four games. I think that has something to do with us winning the last four.
How long before Doug Belk gets head coaching looks?
Well, hopefully a little while. I've believed in Doug for a long time. You know, had him as my corners coach up at West Virginia for 2 years, and then, you know, the past 2 years as the safeties and secondary coach here at the University of Houston. And I knew it was his time. You know, we weren't in a horrible place defensively, but knew it was either time to make that move with him or somebody else was going to, you know. So he does a great job. He's incredibly sharp. You know, he's the next college team captain, quarterback. He used to run in the show. You know, comes from South Georgia, where football is every bit as important as it is here in the state of Texas. So he's doing a great job, very organized. You know, players respond to him, and they're playing hard for him. You know, so, you know, couldn't be happier with the job that they're doing. Got another big test here this weekend against Tulane. They do different things. So, you know, being a coordinator, it's not about how you defended a specific offense the past week. It's about what your challenge is here the next week. And Tulane poses some problems that we're going to have to deal with.
You know, it's this schedule. I mean, they did you a solid by letting you play on Friday and then Thursday. This one's working out nice as opposed to the last few schedules they gave you. This one is actually favorable, isn't it?
I don't know about favorable, but I think my complaining over the first 2 years maybe did a little bit of good. There'd be a lot of people really complaining about two six-day windows in a row on the road. The previous game we played, you know, Tulsa was in the same spot. They had played five games in a row, and they were on a short week, you know, so that was even. I just want to be even with them. You know, I don't – gaining an advantage is always great, but being at a disadvantage is what we're trying to prevent. We actually do have an advantage this week. You know, Tulane's been – they've been through a lot. You know, when the hurricane blew through there 6 weeks ago, they got displaced to Birmingham, and we're in Birmingham for, I believe, 4 weeks. You know, it's another back in Louisiana, but when they got back, they were only there for a few days, and they played their first home game against UAB, and then they had to turn around and go to East Carolina, which is a hard trip, and then flew back to New Orleans on Saturday, and we have one more day to prepare than they do, you know, so that's a little bit of an advantage for us. But they've been, you know, you look at their record and you say, you know, you think Tulane's pretty good. You saw that first game against Oklahoma. They had a chance to win that game. They are good. I just think they've been displaced, and I know what that feels like. You know, back being here at Houston back in 2008, we got displaced up to Dallas for a couple of weeks, and it's hard for a football team to function that way. So I anticipate Tulane kind of getting it together. They've lost close games. They're well coached. Willie Fritz is a really good football coach. They're back home for the first time in 6 weeks. I think that'll kind of get their feet underneath them.
We were talking a little bit, and you probably disagree. We'd like you to ride that freshman a little harder, that Alton McCaskill. Henry's carries were down. Is he okay? He only had a couple of carries. And both Marble Carr was back, and he had six carries. So Chandler Smith got five. So you're distributing it. But we talked a little bit about it last week. That freshman sure is good.
Yeah, Alton's doing a great job. You know, everybody wants me to ride him like that, you know, but I just know the grind of it, of the yearly, you know, how the season goes, you know, if we're able to be careful with him, then we're going to be careful with him. I can guarantee you he's going to get as much as he can handle. I still don't know what that is. He continues to impress me with how he functions on the weekly basis. He's had two really good days of practice, so he's fresh and ready to go. So we'll give it to him as many times as he can handle it. You know, Taysom went in there. He was our player of the game 2 weeks ago. Put him in there in the beginning of the second quarter, which, you know, we're gonna rotate backs a little bit. I mean, we're not going to just sit there and ride one guy and wear him out, but we're certainly not going to have somebody that is feeling pretty good on the bench as well. So, you know, Taysom went in first three snaps, he had a catch and two carries for about 45 yards. And he kind of nicked his shoulder up a little bit, so we got him out. He could have went back in. We just figured we'd kind of put him on the sidelines because we knew we were in pretty good shape out there. So between those two and then the two old guys with Mulvin and Chandler, we're in pretty good shape there at the running back spot.
Yeah, doing pretty good. Quarterback looked good. Dell was back, catching a lot of balls. Looked great. Congratulations on a great win, man. Just dominated from start to finish. That was awesome. And now you got Tulane on Thursday night. That's why we're doing it today for you Cougs fans. Best of luck, man. Go to Tulane and beat some ass and then come on back.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right. There's Dana Holgorsen right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Chastang Ford. That's where you go. Go to ChastangFord.com and get that vehicle. You can customize it right there. Everything you can do online. You don't have to go to the dealership. You can do it all right there. HRP, you're looking for that payroll company. You're not satisfied, completely satisfied with yours. Then go to HRP.net. And Damaris Barbecue. You want catering? Damaris.com. I'm telling you, it's not only barbecue. It's everything. And they're Yanni really, Damaris? Really, really good at everything. Huh?
Yanni Damaris?
Yeah, Yanni Damaris. And Frankie Damaris. And Billy Oaxacas. I don't know why they got a Oaxacas in there, but they do. So, by the way, Thanksgiving's coming up. Get that Cajun turkey. It's unbelievable.
Their fried turkey's great.
Yeah, their fried turkey's
great. I want to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. So many of you are playing Underdog Fantasy. I get your slips all the time when you win. Or when you're mad because you lost a little five-teamer. That's basically what we're talking about right here. It's basically like parlays. When you play the over and unders or you play the quote-unquote rivalry challenge, there's two different. We'll talk about daily fantasy another time. I want to talk about focus on these pick'ems. You get to pick the over unders, right? You pick anywhere from two players to five players. Pick their over and under. You could do it with baseball. It could be strikeouts for Lance McCullers. It could be 1.5 total bases for Yordan Alvarez, depending on what's on there. It could be Davis Mills, 187 yards passing. Anything is available there. And if you pick between two and five players, there is going to be multipliers that pay out. You pick five over and unders correctly, and you will win 20 times what your play is. You can do the same thing with the rivalry where you pick between two different players, and you have multipliers all along the way. Underdog Fantasy gives you a chance to win real money with your skill level. Go to underdogfantasy.com. And, of course, you can also play daily fantasy as well. And season-long basketball is coming up before you know it. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio, $25 bonus will be thrown into your account when you make your first deposit. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.